Let's do this. Woo! Ring the bell. This is Between the Ropes.
Oh, you're going for the dirt, for the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's time to get Between the Ropes. Between the Ropes.
Coming up this Friday, October 9th, it's the Superstars of Wrestling live at the West Palm Beach Armory. And one of the matches, we'll see Wes Briscoe taking on the man who joins me right now, and that is Matt Riddle. So, Matt, thanks for the time. How's everything going?
Thanks for having me. Everything's going really good, man.
So, what's it like living the life of a wrestler now?
You know, it's pretty cool. You know, I was fighting. I fought for a majority of my adult life. And the thing about fighting is you only get to fight about 3 times a year. If you're lucky, maybe 4, sometimes less. And the best part about wrestling is you can wrestle year-round, you know, and wrestle all the time. So it's fun. Instead of, like, doing a show every so often, I get to wrestle almost every weekend.
Do you like kind of that repetition and just kind of keeping that flow of, you know what, I get to go out there, I get to have my craft, you know, on a regular basis kind of thing?
I, you know, one of my biggest problems with MMA is there's so much downtime in between fights. And, you know, it's like, what do? You know, you get to, you know, compete, you get that rush, and then you got to wait like 3 again, you know? So now that I'm, you know, doing pro wrestling, I get that rush every weekend, sometimes twice a weekend.
So why was this, you know, over the past year, why was this now the right time for you to get into professional wrestling? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've always been a wrestling fan. You grew up being a wrestling fan, but obviously out of amateur wrestling, you transitioned into MMA rather than going the pro wrestling route.
Especially growing up, the guys were, you know, quite large. You know, the majority of them were like 6'5 and 260 and were just really big dudes. And, you know, I'm only like 6'2". At the time, I was pretty skinny, you know, because I was wrestling, cutting weight all the time. So I was like 170, 189, you know. So I really didn't see a spot for me there, you know, just because how small I was compared to the roster I was seeing on TV. And MMA was right there. You know, the first Ultimate Fighter season just ended, and MMA was really hot at the time. So, you know, I was like, well, I can wrestle. I can do jiu-jitsu. Might as well, you know, try it out. And, you know, I had really good success in MMA. And that's kind of why I, you know, did the MMA route first. It was just convenient.
Well, hindsight being what it is, if you had to do it all over again, do you think you would have gone that same route, or do you think you should have gone right into pro wrestling?
I still think I would have went the same route. And the reason being, I still think even at that time, I would have been stuck, you know. Maybe I wouldn't have been able to get my character over. I didn't have a name. Well, coming from MMA, being on the Ultimate Fighter, having the record I did, doing what I did while I was there, going into pro wrestling now, I get to skip a lot of steps that guys have to work really hard for, like building their name and stuff like that. I just did it in the octagon.
Right. So what's it like going to the Monster Factory and training there, and why was that the good place for you to get your training?
You know, I went to the Monster Factory. I went to a couple of different gyms. I went to Ring of Honor and stuff like that. And the Monster Factory was just a good fit for me. One, they had, you know, Blue Meanies there, Bill Wiles, Danny Cage, and they had a lot of talent there, and their talent's big. And when I say big, a lot of them are like 240, 260, like 6'5". Like, they're just bigger guys. So I knew if I could wrestle with these guys and pick them up and move them around and do all those things, I would still be able to do it if I ever made it to the main roster or any roster in the WWE, you know?
Well, how is this?
Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, how has this transition been for you? Has it been, I don't say easy, but has it been kind of, you know, a natural progression for you considering your background in amateur wrestling?
You know, it has been, and not just because of background in amateur wrestling and professional fighting, but I've been watching pro wrestling my entire life. Like, before I even stepped foot in a wrestling school, I probably had, like, a couple hundred, if not a thousand, backyard wrestling matches with my friends growing up.
Sure.
So not that I was ever technically taught what to do, but I always had an idea, you know?
Well, who are some of the guys that you watched growing up that you really enjoyed and had an influence on you?
You know, a lot of the guys, you know, I'd have to say, like, Randy Orton, Rob Van Dam. You know, I'd like the Dudley Boys, but they're still around. You know, they were around then. They're still around now. Ric Flair, Macho Man. You know, there's just, like, people ask me who's my favorite wrestler, and it's so hard for me to answer because I have so many favorites. And I would take a little piece of each one of them.
And that's the best thing to do because you're going to sculpt yourself into, you know, somebody that's different. But there's so many different people, I think, that you can learn from and you can take little bits of to become who you're going to be. And that's the best part of being a fan and, you know, becoming a, you know, a pro wrestler is there's so many different guys to learn from, right?
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what I've, you know, been doing since I started. You know, when I first started doing pro wrestling, I was more of a fan. But now when I watch matches, I study them more. You know, I look at the way they do things, where they're selling, where they're looking, how they feed into the next move, how they set up the next move, their fire-up, stuff like that. And, you know, it's still just as much fun, if not even more fun, because I know exactly what's going on and what they're thinking during the match.
Did you start doing that just when you started training, or had you been doing that prior?
Just when I started training, before I started training, I was still watching as a fan. You know, I would see a cool move, and I'd think, oh, that's cool. But I never thought about the psychology of why they were doing it at that time or how they would set it up or how did he end up in that spot to do it, you know. But the more I do it and more I practice, the more, you know, I realize, and then I would watch it. Then now I understand what I'm watching.
Was there any nervousness from you to kind of change your professions, you know, at this stage in your life? Because you've been doing MMA for a while, and to make a change, I mean, you're not old, but at the same time, I mean, you're 29. That's usually older than when most people break into wrestling. So was there any trepidation on your part?
Yeah, you know, I wish I could have started. I wish I would have started doing this right when I was done with the UFC, when I was 27. But I started when I was 28 with pro wrestling. So I started, like, right before I turned 29, probably last November I started wrestling. So I'm still under a year. But, you know, when I looked at it and I see the talent that's there and what I was already capable of and the fact that I already have a name, I don't have to build it from scratch, it wasn't too big of a concern with me because I've seen other guys older than me make it. And not that I'm something special, you know, I like to think I am, but you never know. But at the same time, I knew I brought a name to the table. I knew I brought a lot of athleticism to the table and a decent amount of charisma. So I think, you know, with those three things and, you know, and plus you got to realize I watch a lot of pro wrestling. So it's not like I was like, you know, I'm going to give pro wrestling a shot. It's like I watched what's on TV, and like the number one thing, like I've talked to Gerald Briscoe, and one of the things he says, if you can watch our product and see a guy speak and the way he looks and the way he's built, and you can look yourself in the mirror and see that and see you doing it and it's realistic, you got a shot, you know? And when I look in the mirror, you know, I'm pretty built, I can speak. And, you know, I'm not too hard on the eyes. And I was like, you know what, I think I might have something here.
Well, that's a huge advantage, being able to kind of lean on somebody and get advice from someone like Gerald Briscoe, isn't it?
It is. And fortunately for me, I've brushed shoulders with a lot of talent and a lot of legends like himself over less than a year.
Who are some of the other guys that maybe you've gotten advice from or, you know, you've talked to, you know, when you're trying to figure different things out?
I could go on for a long time, but I'll keep it short. Like guys like Blue Meanie, Les Thatcher, Rip Rogers, Nigel McGuinness. Man, I could keep going on. I really could, but I've brushed shoulders with a lot of people. You know, I was actually buddies with Rob Van Dam before while I was in MMA. So, you know, I picked his brain when I saw him a couple months ago down at the NWA Legends camp. And, you know, X-Pac, you know, Sean Waltman, he came into the gym and we talked. And, you know, it's just, I've met so many people. And then even when I did my trout with the WWE, I was talking to Norman Smiley, Matt Bloom, and Regal. You know, so I've, in my short career of professional wrestling, in my 11 months, I've brushed shoulders with a lot of the who's who of professional wrestling.
I'll talk about your WWE tryout, or I'll ask you about it in just a minute, but you mentioned Sean Waltman, and I know that he said this about you. He said, you have the potential to be Kurt Angle caliber. So how do you respond to a statement like that?
I mean, thank you, and I really do agree. I think a lot of our mannerisms are the same. I think our athleticism's pretty much the same, and yeah, I really could see that. You know, especially with my mixed martial arts background, I'm aggressive, but I can work. You know, I think shoot, but I work, and I can really make it look. You know, I can make stuff look really dangerous. Plus, I'm kind of a goofball at heart, so, you know, with the seriousness of my athleticism, I can also cut a goofy promo and keep the crowd entertained and laughing.
But I think that's the crux of professional wrestling, is that you can make it look good, you can make it look serious, you can make it look tight, but at the same time, I think you can grasp the entertainment side of it as well, so that's, and you have to be able to do all of that to make it work.
And that's why, you know, when people ask me what's harder, MMA or professional wrestling, I'd say the MMA training, you know, day in, day out, cutting weight, fighting, you know, that's a little tougher. But when it comes to an overall product, an overall complete professional wrestler, it's 10 times harder to be a complete professional wrestler. Because as a fighter, you don't even need to talk. You go into a conference and say yes, no, okay, maybe. And as long as you beat people up, you're good to go.
Have you gotten an opportunity to speak with Kurt Angle, pick his brain a little bit?
We went back and forth on Twitter a little bit, but nothing. No, I haven't seen him in person. We haven't really got to talk, no.
Have you studied his career a little bit closer now that you're doing this?
Yeah. Of course. And not even before I started wrestling. I studied his career. I was probably, when he won the world title at the Pepsi Arena years ago, I was there in the crowd, and he was a heel at the time. I believe he beat The Rock, and I was probably one of three people cheering in that whole arena. I've been a big Kurt Angle fan from day one because I wrestled, and I just liked the way he did things, you know. So I've been following his career for a very long time.
So you mentioned the WWE tryout camp that you did this past May. So were you surprised you got invited so quickly? Yeah, because at that point, you had only been trying wrestling for, like, 6 months.
Yeah, but I also got signed by the UFC about 6 months, 7 months after training professional mixed martial arts. I only had one amateur fight when I got in the Ultimate Fighter, and I was signed by the UFC at 22. So when I got the call, plus, you know, Sean Waltman, X-Pac, was a big influence on that. He pulled a couple strings and gave him a call and said, you know, Matt really has potential. So I think that helped a lot. But I wasn't shocked. You know, I knew I was ready for what was there and what they were going to deliver. You know, I've been training my whole life to fight and wrestle. So, you know, a tryout, I was just stoked to get the opportunity, and I didn't want it to slipped through my fingers, so I made sure I did everything I possibly could to leave an impression on him, and I think I did.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how do you think the camp went?
I think the camp went amazingly well. You know, I can't get into too much detail, but I think I did as good as you could do.
So I'm going to throw it out there. You're going to be starting, you know, at the Performance Center later on this year, right?
You know, I can't really speak on that, and I'm not going to until further word, but I wouldn't doubt it. If you saw me down at the Performance Center early this upcoming year or later this year, I would not be surprised.
Well, quite honestly, I think that you would be a, you know, I'm not trying to kiss ass or anything, but I think that you would be kind of a great mold for what they're looking for somebody that has the background that you do, has the personality that you do. You've got a great base from the amateur style, and then you're just now getting into this. So to get you there under their fold would be a good time to kind of not only give you more experience, but teach you and mold you in the way that they like. So now would be a good opportunity to get you at this stage of your wrestling career.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like to think, you know. But, you know, everybody, there's a lot of people that put their two cents in with the WWE. They got a lot of people working with them, and it's what they want, you know. And I'm just, you know, I want to make everybody happy and get myself over in the process and make people money and make myself money. So, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's the process been for you then when it comes to the wrestling business? Because obviously there's the physical part, but there's the mental part as well of telling a story and putting together a match. So how has that part of it been going for you?
You know, my first like three matches, I was lucky enough to wrestle well, you know, way more experienced guys, and they kind of put the matches together for me. But now it's more of a cohesive thing. We both help each other out. Like, you know, they're like, oh, I like doing these moves. I say, I like doing these moves. And then we're like, well, how about we start off the match like this? You do this, depending on who's babyface, who's heel. And, you know, and we work out a whole match. It usually takes about 10 minutes. And usually we work out a whole match, and I throw my two cents in, they throw their two cents in, and we really put together something special. And honestly, I feel like, I'm not saying my matches are amazing, but for somebody with less than a year of experience, my matches are pretty good. They're really good, I think.
So have you already found a way to, or is there one style that you like better? I mean, most people like being a heel right off the bat, but what's that been like for being a heel and being a babyface so far?
You know, I've done it both so far. I've wrestled face and I've wrestled heel. I just actually started wrestling heel. And, babyface, you know, the one thing about being a babyface is you really got to please the crowd all the time, and you always got to be a fighting champion, and you got to do everything right. And it's weird for me to do that, because even in mixed martial arts, even if you're a fan favorite, you still kick somebody in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you see an opportunity to kick somebody in the face, you do it. Well, in pro wrestling, if you're a babyface, you should probably not kick somebody right in the face. You know, you should try to wrestle them. And there's a, you know, different formula. Well, as a heel, you can kind of get away with whatever you want, because you're supposed to get, you know, you're supposed to get the heat.
I kind of see you as a natural heel from the standpoint of a guy that can, you know, be entertaining, but also be kind of cocky because you are good, because you have that amateur background. And it's kind of like you can show off to people a little bit.
You know, every person, when I was down at the Legends camp, Les Thatcher, Rip Rogers, everybody was like, are you a heel? And I go, right now I'm wrestling babyface, but I'm a, you know, like when it comes down to it, I am a heel. Like, I'm a nice guy, but I kind of tell how it is. I am cocky a little bit, and it just comes natural to me. And even when I talk to Briscoe down there, he's like, he would like me to be a heel as well. He's like, you got that mannerisms of a heel.
But it's good to be a little cocky. It's just not being too much, you know, over yourself.
I agree. And I don't think I'm too much over myself, but at the same time, I am extremely confident.
So is your wife still training with you? I know she was at Monster Factory. Is she still training?
She was, but right now she's actually picked up another, she's pursuing some CrossFit stuff. She's CrossFit certified, and she's competing in like different CrossFit games and competitions. And it's more up her alley. My wife Lisa was never a huge wrestling fan, and she's super athletic though. She was a gymnast. She's a 2-time All-American from LSU, and she was picking up the wrestling very quickly. But, and like, she could do all the moves, but it was like this psychology of, like, why would I do this? When would I do it? And she's also a year or so older than I am. And for women in professional wrestling, you know, they like younger women, of course. So, you know, I think she decided to pursue some CrossFit instead.
Sure. That would have been interesting, though, to see a true married couple, you know, going out there and teaming together or being, just going out there on a regular basis. That's something that's very rare.
I know, man. That was my idea. I wanted her to be my manager until she started picking up the psychology aspect of it and, you know, the understanding, because at least as a manager, she still gets involved, all that stuff. But it's, you know, it's limited, so she won't have to remember too much of a match or something like that.
You know what?
Go ahead.
No, go.
Sorry.
No, my bad.
But she you know, she really wanted to, like, you know, Divas Revolution. She really wanted to be on her own. She didn't want to be my manager and all that stuff. And I think she was slightly overwhelmed when she realized how much you had to remember and selling and psychology and babyface, just the whole nine yards. When she was never a wrestling fan, and she's just a really good world-class athlete.
So you've got the show coming up this Friday, like I mentioned, the Superstars of Wrestling Live at West Palm Beach. At the Armory there. I know you're also going to be working some Evolve shows later on this month. What's it like to work for them, you think? Because there's obviously a huge spotlight when it comes to work rate with that company.
Yeah, well, I've spoken with Evolve. You know, the way I've been wrestling now is more like the normal wrestling you see, you know, clotheslines, you know, stuff like that. Evolve, you know, there's the big spotlight, and they're more into, and you probably watched it if you watched Evolve, they're more into that, they're spots, but they're more into that shoot style.
Like, yeah.
They want stuff to look real. So when I talked to Gabe, you know, he asked me to make it real, and I was like, I can do that with ease, man. You know, I was like, that's, you know, I did it for years, and I can definitely get in there and make it look a shoot, make it look like a shoot, and make it look amazing. So, and that's what they want. That's what I'm going to give them. And I think it's going to be great. I think there's a lot of eyes on there. I know a lot of the trainers from NXT watch that, you know, program and go to the live events. And I think it's going to be great.
You know, as your experience and your career progresses, obviously you're always going to have this, you know, base, you know, mat wrestling, but have you thought about incorporating any high-flying moves or kind of altering your style for things like that?
Well, definitely. And in the matches I've had, you know, I do springboard knees. I do five-star frog splashes. I do flips over people. I do backflips over people, you know. I do, like, the thing is, I love watching professional wrestling, and I love all those crazy flips and twirls they do to get out of submissions or get out of holds. And of course I incorporated all that into my moveset when I wrestle professionally.
So do you, when you're watching wrestling or just thinking about it, you know, and watching tape or watching whatever, do you sit there and envision, I would love to wrestle this guy and I think this is how it would go?
Yeah, you know, especially when I watch Raw or even when I watch Ring of Honor or any of the bigger, you know, promotions, even Evolve, when I watch some of the guys, I can picture certain matches and certain match styles we could have, and yeah, I do it all the time.
Has it been an easy break from you to separate yourself from MMA? Do you miss any aspect of it?
You know, the one thing is I do love to fight. Fighting's just, it's so much fun, especially, I don't know, I've always liked to get into a scrap even growing up. It was just, I never looked at it like as a personal thing, you know. It was just always fun for me to fight, you know. Like even when I'd fight with my friends, like they might even get heated and serious for a moment, but I always had a smile on my face. I was just having fun, and even with, you know. So for me, fighting was always fun. It's just unfortunate that, you know, fighting's very limited in where you can work, and the money's very limited, you know, and that was a couple of my biggest problems, you know. And fights, you know, unlike wrestling matches, if I go to West Palm Beach this Friday and Wes Briscoe breaks his ankle, I doubt they just scrap my match. I bet they find somebody to fill in for Wes, and I still wrestle. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Well, MMA is a little different. Like, if your opponent gets hurt and they've been promoting this fight, they're probably not going to replace your opponent. They're probably just going to be like, sorry, we'll get, hopefully you can fight him again in a couple months.
Right, and that was a theme for the end of your career, I think, and you could see the frustrations in that. You're sitting going, I've got to fight for a living, and I've been training, and I don't have a fight. Why not?
And that was really it, you know, with fights falling through, with the money not being what I thought it should be, because at one point I was making, you know, really good money. I was probably making $50,000 a fight, and then it went from making $50,000 to making, like, $10,000, which I was still okay with. But then when you can't fight and your pay is cut in half, or not cut in half, you're basically $40,000 taken off. And, you know, and sponsors are harder to get on the, you know, the lower regional fight scenes. And it was just, it went from, you know, it almost was like if I wrestled for the WWE right off the bat, and then I wasn't wrestling for them, and I went and wrestled everywhere else. Except for, like I said, in professional wrestling, they'll find you an opponent and you can wrestle every weekend. While in MMA, you only fight three times, maybe four times a year. And if a fight falls through and you train to 8 weeks, you still got to pay your trainers and you still got to pay for everything. And you don't have the money, you know?
Yeah, and that can be tough. So
very tough.
Extremely. So Superstars of Wrestling Live coming up this Friday night at the West Palm Beach Armory. You're going to be taking on Wes Briscoe and other people are going to be there. Matt Hardy is going to be there. And I believe TNA World Champion EC3 is going to be there as well. People can go online, go to superstarsofwrestlinglive.com to get more information. Matt, thanks for the time, man. And best of luck in your pro wrestling career. I'm looking forward to seeing more of you.
Thanks, man. And thanks for having me.
The talking is over.
Thanks for downloading Between the Ropes.
Man, you guys are awesome. Thank you.
For more, go to BetweenTheRopes.com and subscribe to Between the Ropes on iTunes.
Thank you. Have a nice day.